the silent herald of life and death, success or failure. The unseen force that measures man's destiny, reaching its most fateful moment as it slowly strikes the 11th hour.
Happened if Janet hadn't been in such a filthy temper. Now, let's be fair, if we both hadn't been in such a filthy temper. We always drove down to our cottage near Aylesbury on Saturday night after the show, for we both had long parts in the play and felt we needed a weekend in the country. The play, Murder Without Motive, had been running for 12 months, and, well, maybe it was getting us down a bit. Anyway, that particular Saturday, Janet wanted to go on to a party, and I didn't. We spent most of the evening arguing about it. We both got more and more stubborn. The result was that we finished up by going to the party, which didn't please me, and leaving it after an hour, which didn't please Janet. And because we were so busy slanging each other, I forgot to fill up with petrol before we left London.
Need to drive quite so fast, Michael?
Well, we've wasted enough time as it is.
Oh, rubbish. We'll be at the cottage by 3.
We'd have been there by 2 if you
if
had...
If we hadn't gone to the party. All right. For the amount of time we stayed, we might just as well have not gone at all. Now I suppose you'll moan about it for the whole weekend.
Well, if you will persist in being so bad-tempered,
Me bad-tempered? Well, you've done nothing but sulk all the way from town. While we were at the party, you looked like a regular crepe hanger.
Well, it was dreary and I was bored.
So it wasn't very bright. Is that my fault?
Well, you insisted on going.
Well, I thought Seligman might be there.
Yes, and you wanted to try and talk him into giving you a part in his new film.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Seligman.
Oh, don't tell me you're getting jealous.
Well, we're not that hard up for work. In fact, there's no need for you to work at all for a while. Why don't you have a rest?
And start raising a family. I've told you. I'll think about it.
Yes, that's as far as you get.
Michael, you took that corner much too far.
I know what I'm doing.
And so do I. You're just being pig-headed. Now slow down for this one. Slow down, Michael. Haven't you any... Michael, look out!
It wasn't my fault, but it served me right because I was going too fast. The big lorry was slewed 3 parts of the way across the lane. Quite evidently, I wasn't the only one who'd taken the corner too fast. We hit the rear of it with a glancing blow, shot up the bank and down again, and pulled up in the middle of the lane some 30 yards further on. You all right, darling?
Yes, I'm all right. It wasn't your fault, Michael.
Get out, both of you.
What's biting you? The accident wasn't our fault,
you know? Are you getting out? Or do I pull you out?
Now, look here, I...
Shut up. Move.
Lenny.
All right. All the other...
Take your hands off me, all right?
Oh, you what? You got it coming to you.
Hey, Lenny, cut it out.
What's the idea?
Cut it out, I said. I'll deal with it.
Don't you want me to get...
I said I'll deal with it. Now, get back to the lorry.
The big oaf reluctantly released me and slouched off, leaving me wondering whether I'd have a broken neck in another couple of seconds. As I tried to massage some feeling back into my shoulder, I watched the second man warily. He was a tough, hard-faced-looking individual. But at least he didn't try to tear me into 2 pieces.
You've had a lucky escape.
Yes, so it seems, one way and another.
You took that corner too fast.
Yes, and it looks as if you did just the same a few minutes earlier.
That's right. Oh, I think we'd both better forget about it, don't you?
Well, that's a thought. Is your lorry damaged?
Well, nothing that a lick of paint won't put right.
Well, we've only dented the mudguard. So in that case, we'll get going again.
Yes, you do that.
Your friend's a bit primitive, isn't he?
You're being funny or just plain nosy?
Oh, you're a bit touchy as well.
Janet.
Think so? I wouldn't be too curious if I were you, lady.
Well, I...
Pipe down, Jan. We don't want any more trouble.
They're an odd couple.
Yeah, very. I could think of other descriptions as well.
I noticed you weren't anxious to linger.
Are you kidding? Didn't you notice what the large gentleman had in his hand?
No, I couldn't see.
It was a kosh.
Well, I'm not altogether surprised. The other one kept his hand in his right pocket all the time he was talking to
him. Yes, he probably had a gun there.
And that's what I thought.
And yet you started baiting him.
I wanted to see whether he'd pull it.
Oh, look, darling, we're not on the stage now. When people pull guns in real life, they're loaded and not with blanks.
Sorry, Michael. I've got used to that kind of scene in Murder Without Motive.
Yes, it is, eh? But just try to remember that in this case, they haven't got to stick to the dialogue of Act Three. When those sort of chaps start ad-libbing, the going's apt to get rough.
Yes, you're right. And that being the case, suppose you turn off to the left, just along there.
Down the car track? Why?
Because it is a car track, and it's too narrow for the lorry to come down it.
The lorry? Have they started it?
Soon after us. They're just around the next bend. And coming pretty fast.
Well, in that case, I think we'll have our lights out. Oh, so this track's a bit bumpy.
Better than a bump from the lorry. I think this is far enough.
Right. See anything?
Just a minute. They've just gone past the end of the track. They're going straight on without stopping. Yes, it's all right.
We sat in the car and smoked to let them get well out of the way. Janet crooked her little finger and linked it in mine. A sign that peace had been restored and the bad temper on both sides was forgotten.
Mickey?
Hmm?
What do you think they're up to?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe nothing. Oh, perhaps we're letting our imaginations run riot. The play's been running too long. I'm thinking too much like Detective Inspector Morton.
Possibly. Yet, I don't know. After all, if we didn't actually see the gun, you didn't imagine the kosh.
Well, that's true.
Ordinary lorry drivers don't go around koshing people just because they nearly had an accident.
No, there's something phony about them and dangerous. Oh, well, anyway, they're out of the way now. Shall we go?
All right. Well, what's wrong? Why won't it stop?
I'm afraid it's not our lucky evening.
Oh, no. Don't tell me you forgot to fill the tank.
Yes, I'm afraid so. I'm sorry, darling. The tank's burned dry.
And what about the reserve tank?
Well, I switched over to reserve coming through Uxbridge. I thought I'd make that all-night garage at Amersham.
Oh, there's another one nearer than that.
Yes, well, I'll have to walk down to it and borrow a tin.
I'll come with you.
Well, there's no need. You stay here and rest.
No, thank you. I know the lorry did go by, but all the same, I don't fancy sitting here on my own. I'm not in the mood for admiring the beauties of nature.
Perhaps you're right. Come on, then. The garage you're thinking of is just past the crossroads, isn't it?
Yes, but I've just realized they'll be closed.
We'll have to knock them up. Come on, darling. Best foot forward. Yes, we've got 20 minutes' walk ahead of us. It took us 25. And Janet was quite right. The garage was closed.
They're probably in bed.
Well, we must get some bedfords somehow. I'll wave a couple of quid at them.
If you get the chance.
Oh, I don't think like that. Anyway, I'm going to knock until they do wake up.
We're closed.
You see?
I'm sorry to disturb you, but we're in a bit of difficulty.
We're not serving anybody now.
Well, if you could just let us have...
I said we're closed.
Yes, I know, but...
Please, or I'll take the dogs on you.
Well, how do you like breakfast service?
Oh, come on, Mickey.
Well, of all the nerve.
All right, darling, take it in.
But we must have some petrol.
He won't get any by shouting at him. After all, he doesn't have to open up. Come on, let's snoop around the back.
Yes, that's an idea. We might find a tin somewhere. We can leave the money for it.
Yes. Come on, let's go along the fence here.
Look. There's a light in that garage. You can see it under the closed door. Well, they're not in bed at all.
No. Somebody's up, that's certain.
So we'll get our petrol.
Careful, darling. There's something odd about this.
Nonsense. They're just a surly bunch of yokels, that's all. Oh, I'll give them a knock on these doors.
Oh, Nicky, please. Let's go quickly. Never mind the petrol. It doesn't matter. Oh, I feel something awful's going to happen.
Well, it's about time. Oh. It's you again.
Don't move, mister, or I'll let you have it. Hey, Mac. Guess who we've got for visitors?
Well, well. It isn't our nosy friends from up the road. So you wouldn't take a hint, eh?
Shall I give it to them now?
Not yet. But I've got to hand it to you, Lenny. You were right, for once.
Yeah.
You should have knocked them off back up the road.
Sure. That's what I said.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. We can soon remedy our little error. Step inside, friends, and learn what happens to snoopers.
Mac's invitation wasn't the kind I welcomed, but there wasn't any choice about it. As soon as we stepped inside the garage, Lenny pushed the big door shut. The big lorry was there, quite obviously undergoing considerable alterations. I'd read in the newspapers of the lorries and their cargoes which had been disappearing from the Great North Road. Now I knew just how they disappeared. I wondered what had happened to the real lorry driver and his mate. Looking at Lenny with the tire lever in his hand, I didn't have to wonder very hard. I tried to think of something else. It wasn't a very pleasant line of thought. But there was a third man in the garage. He, of course, would be the garage owner. The man who didn't want to sell us any petrol. Understandable under the circumstances.
Well, you satisfied your curiosity? We'll get on with the business.
No, well, I haven't. Who are these people, Mac?
They bumped into us on the road further up. They had their chance. They had to come following us.
But we didn't. We only came...
Shut up! Can't stand a woman squawking.
I was only trying to tell you...
Don't try and tell us anything. Now, you heard what the boss said.
Leave her alone. Look, Sonny. Don't try and play the little hero. Or you'll get hurt. And so will she. Yeah.
But my wife...
I'll do the talking, mister. All right, tie him up, Lenny.
Tie him up? Look, it'd be easier to bash him.
I said tie him up. I don't want him marked. Tie their hands behind their backs with that cord.
All right. Just as you say.
It almost seemed like the third act of the play. I put my hands behind me, as I'd done every night for 12 months. But as the cords bit into my wrists, I knew that this was grim reality, with no escape guaranteed by a thoughtful author. It made it doubly frightening.
That'll do fine, Lenny.
Good.
Right. Now sit down on those aldrums, both of you.
I'll stand. Now, why didn't you sit down before, eh?
Lenny. You're always so impetuous.
What? Impetuous?
Now you'll have to excuse my friend. He finds words of more than one syllable a bit difficult.
What?
But he's a man of action.
That's right.
Perhaps you've gathered that by now. Now, don't knock him about, Lenny. Unless you have to.
Oh, well, you know I never do. There's some people just never learn.
I think he's got the idea now.
Oh, Mickey, are you all right?
Yes, sir.
He's all right, just a bit shaken. He's learning the hard way.
Oh, my wrists. The cords are hurting me.
Too bad. Never mind, it won't be for long. Now, mister, where's your car?
It's up the road. We came down here because...
I don't want the story of your life. You just answer my questions, that's all. You get it?
Yes, I get it.
Oh, learning.
Now, get into this car. In the back, both of you. You can take us to where you left your car.
Hey, wait a minute, Mac. What are you going to do?
No need for you to worry, Bert. Lenny and I will look after these two.
Yeah.
All right.
Now, that's what I want to know.
You just get cracking and fix that lorry.
Look, I'm asking you...
Asking. You heard what Mac said, didn't you?
Oh, don't you try to rough me, Lenny, or you'll be sorry, both of you.
I'll be sorry. We'll be sorry. I could break you in two.
Quiet down, Lenny. Bert knows we've got to have his cooperation.
You bet I do. Just keep remembering that.
All right. No sense in quarreling. You ought to know we can't let these two go. They send your garage.
Yeah, what do they have? I'm not having anything to do with murder.
Nobody asked you to.
Oh, no. Well, I know enough about the law to know that if you and Lenny knock them off, I'm for it as well. And believe me, I'm not laying myself open to take any 8 o'clock walk with the hangman.
Oh, you don't want to worry, you know. You'd never be up in time.
Oh, yeah, very funny, very funny. But you're not going to do it, see?
Look, we promise not to say anything.
Stay in the back of that car and keep quiet.
But don't you see? Look, we could...
Look, I've all got to attend to you as well.
It's no good, Janet. Might as well shut up.
He learns quick. And get in the front, Lenny. I'll drive.
Okay.
Hey, listen to me, Mac. You drive that car out of here and I'll pick up the phone.
You'll pick up the phone?
That's what I'll do. I'll pick it anywhere you are, Lenny.
I'll handle it. Look, Bert, you've got it all wrong.
Oh, right, he has.
Nobody said anything about murder.
But you said you were going to take
them. I said we can't let them go. So there'll have to be an accident.
Oh. What kind of an accident?
I think their car's going to catch fire at some point.
That's good, eh?
Catch fire?
Oh, well, if you're sure you can fix it to look like an accident.
Of course we can.
Well... It's different.
You open the garage door, Bert, and stop worrying. You get ulcers if you're not careful. Okay. Now you get that lorry fixed up. Shan't be long.
I could just make out Janet staring wide-eyed in the dark. And I wondered whether she was feeling like me, that it was all some horrible nightmare. It was difficult to believe that these two men were going to burn us to death in a matter of minutes. But I knew it was true. There were no blood-curdling threats, just a calm, methodical preparation, which somehow made it all seem more horrible.
Did you bring that length of sash cord with you, Lenny?
Yeah, I've got it right here.
Right, we'll need it for the fuse.
I suppose you fellows realize what you're heading into. The police will get you. There's no such thing as a perfect murder, you know.
I quite agree. But this is going to be an accident. A car catches fire. Happens all the time, you know.
You're calmly sitting there talking about burning us to death. You can't do a thing like that.
Why not?
Well, you couldn't be so inhuman.
Look, lady, in my business we can't take chances. You know too much. You've seen us and the truck. You shouldn't have come snooping.
But we never meant to.
I'm not concerned with what you meant or didn't mean. The way things are. Well, like I said, we can't take chances.
But, Bernie...
You won't feel a thing. Lenny will knock you both out first.
That's right.
Providing you behave yourself.
And it'll be a very great
pleasure. Oh, but not too hard, Lenny, not too hard. You know, that's the trouble with him. He doesn't know his own strength.
How can you be so cold-blooded? Haven't you got any humanity at all?
Can't afford it in my line of business. What's your business?
I'm an actor.
Then you ought to be used to this kind of stuff. Just regard it as a special performance. Without any encores. Is this the car track you came along?
Well, I'm not sure.
Look, up to now I've been very considerate. Don't make things difficult for yourself at the end.
Yes, this is the track.
That's better. Is it far along? Oh, no, I can see it. Ah, here we are. How'd you get Lenny?
Right.
Now, hop out, you two. I said hop out. It'll only make it worse if Lenny has to drag you out. That's right. Bit of cooperation and you won't feel a thing. Right, once over lightly.
Hold on a minute. I want to ask you something.
What is it? Make it snappy.
Just as a matter of curiosity.
What? That word again?
Well, might as well be consistent.
Well, what do you want to know?
Just what do you intend to do when Lenny's knocked us out?
Quite simple. You see this bit of cord? We soak it in petrol. One end goes in the petrol tank, and the two of you go in the car. We stand back and light the other end. Up she goes. A final curtain, you might say.
Yes, I was counting on it being something like that.
You were counting on it?
Well, sort of. You see, you can't do it. There's no petrol in the tank.
What? Have a look, Lenny. Probably bluffing for time.
Okay. That's why we came knocking up the garage. I tried to tell you, but you wouldn't listen.
Obvious job, what do you think? Hey, there's nothing in the tank, Matt. It's a drawer. Drawer's a Sir R. Jessett.
And we'll siphon some from our car. There's plenty there. We'll only want a drop to get back to the garage.
Yeah, I know that, but what are we going to siphon it with?
Oh, look, a bit of rubber tubing.
Oh, we ain't got any.
All right, so we haven't got any rubber tubing.
Look, I'll tell you what, we could use our car and take theirs. It's a better car.
Look, have some sense. Lummox, the police would know it wasn't their car. No, there's nothing else for it. I'll have to go to the garage and fetch some petrol.
Yeah, well, what am I going to do all this time?
Nothing, just watch them, that's all. I'll be back in 5 minutes.
Okay.
So we had 5 minutes' grace. But I couldn't see what good it was going to do us. Our hands were tied behind our backs, and I had no illusions there about what would happen if either of us tried to run or fight with our hands tied. I tried to think what Detective Inspector Morton in the play would have done. And then I thought of the last act of Murder Without Motive. It was a slim chance. And it all depended on whether Janet picked up her cue.
And don't move, or you'll get it now.
My wrists are hurting.
Oh, no, so what? You won't be feeling anything in a few minutes.
That's a line from the play I'm appearing in. You see, we're both tied up and...
Oh, I hope you've got good understudies.
Not tied up tightly like this, of course.
And so, you get loose, I suppose, eh? And then the villain gets his, and I'm the villain. That's all right. You know, but you won't, not this time.
Yes, I know, that's the difference. You see, in the play, I say to him, you've been very clever, Barrett, but there's one thing you haven't allowed for. I knew Mary hadn't committed the murder.
You mean you never really suspected me, Bill?
Yeah, just a minute. What are you talking about? What's the caper?
That's what she says in the play. I only pretended to suspect you to put friend Barrett off his guard.
Oh, is that so? Well, he'll have to bring the curtain down now. I can hear Mac coming in the car.
You remember how it finishes, Janet?
Of course.
Then now! Oh!
It worked. She's out cold. Come on, quickly.
Across the field into that wood. They'll never find us in the dark.
It had been a long shot, but we'd have the luck with us. I hoped that Janet would catch on, for unless you do it together, it's useless. It's a tricky thing to do, and Janet and I had had a lot of trouble over it at rehearsals. But when you've been doing it for 12 months, night after night, your timing gets pretty good. I butted Lenny in the chest with my head while Jan threw herself against the back of his legs. And that was curtains for Lenny. Well, the police caught them a few days later. But we aren't playing in Murder Without Motive any longer. We find that third act a bit too grim for our liking now.
Thank you.
Be listening for another mounting drama of action and suspense when we again bring you The 11th Hour. This